National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. My name is Bernice Herzog. My respondent is Evelyn Bloom. This is Thursday, February 19th, 1998. Evelyn, please tell us your birth date.
September 20th, 1923.
All right, now let's go back a bit. Do you remember your grandparents on your maternal side, on your mother's side?
No, none of my grandparents were living when I was born.
Do you remember any on your father's side?
No, none of my grandparents.
Well, I know they may not be living, but do you know anything about them?
Oh, I know about them.
Okay.
I have pictures all over the house.
All right,
here.
Let's start with your maternal, your mother's family. Where did they come from?
They came from Russia. And my maternal grandmother's husband died, and my maternal grandfather's wife died, and each of them had children. One had two children, and one had four children, and then they married in Europe, and my mother was the only outcome of that marriage, so she only had half brothers and sisters.
And what was your grandparents' first name?
Leah and her Friedland last? And Dove Bear Friedland.
And your mother's name?
My mother's name is Anna Friedland Glick.
And when did they come to this country?
They came in the late 1800s, and they came to McKeesport.
And when were you born? Where were you born?
In Pittsburgh, after my parents were married. My father's family lived in Pittsburgh.
Not McKeesport.
No, he courted her by streetcar down Murray Avenue, which was all farmland at that time, and met her through mutual friends, in the Zionist community, and saw her on various Zionist activities. That the Young Zionists of Pittsburgh, one time, the thing that impressed me the most, they took a boat trip one summer, and they went down as far as McKeesport and landed and docked and picked up the Young Zionists, religious Zionists of McKeesport, and then they went further down the river to one of the islands in the middle, and they had a picnic at that time.
So that was real entertainment.
That was real.
And you were raised in Pittsburgh?
Yes, in Oakland we lived.
And how many siblings? And
I only had one living sibling, my sister, 5 years older than myself, who's since died.
Yes, but you only had the one altogether. And where did you go to school?
I went to home school in Oakland, which is no longer there. HOLMES, and then I went to Schenley High School, and then I went to Pennsylvania College for Women, which is now Chatham College.
When you were in home school, was there any anti-Semitism that you could detect?
Not that I was aware of.
How about in high school?
No, neither.
And in PCW?
No, not anti-Semitism. There were fewer of us. There were most of us, the larger percentage of us were in the elementary school, then fewer Jews in the high school, and even fewer in the college. But I was there on a scholarship, and I won the Jefferson Oratory contest for the school and things like that, and there's no problem. One of my closest friends was a Greek Orthodox girl whose wedding I attended at the Dithridge Street Church in Oakland, and at our 50th reunion of our class, she was the one that I had the closest contact with. That's although there were a couple of girls that are not in Pittsburgh anymore now, that were Jewish that were close friends at that time, too.
What was your major?
I majored in chemistry.
And you were a great speaker.
Well,
you won an oratory.
Yeah, that Jefferson is one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
He's a redhead. I was a redhead. At least the only proof I have of that is that my high school yearbook has my nickname as Red. But I do have three of my four children who are redheads.
They come by it naturally.
And my husband gets it from his side. He had a redheaded grandfather and a couple of redheaded siblings, but he had dark hair.
How many children do you have?
I have four living children.
Will you list their names, please?
Yes, my oldest daughter, Shannon, Rose Rachel, Bloom Werber, W-E-R-B-E-R. She's made Aliyah with her husband after she was married. And they are now here as he's the Aliyah Shaliach for the Midwest, from Pittsburgh to Denver, for Israel. And they're based in Chicago. They were just in this last weekend for the Albert Bloom Memorial Lecture. And my second son, child, is Dove Aaron Bloom. And he also made Aliyah, also with his spouse that he met in the same B'nai Akiva religious Zionist youth movement. And they also went to a religious kibbutz in Israel, both of those, the
and
two families.
He's still there.
And he's still there. She's still there, too.
Yes.
But she's not on the kibbutz anymore. She now lives in the Judea area outside of Jerusalem because he is now working for the Jewish agency, so he had to be closer to that. Then my third child is Dr. Ilana Joy Bloom, who's married to a Dr. Garrett, but she doesn't go by the Garrett name. She still keeps her maiden name. And she's living here in Pittsburgh, luckily, now, since a few years before my husband died. They moved back here. And my youngest son is Michael J. Bloom, who lives in Washington area, in Arlington, Virginia.
Let's go back to your children and tell me what they do, their profession, and how many...
Well, Shannon also went to Chatham College, and she majored in genetics, she went on to get a master's in genetic counseling after she was married and living in the New York area at Rutgers. And then when they made Aliyah, she worked for a while under the Hadassah Hospital, but at the Be'er Sheva Hospital, setting up their genetics counseling clinic. But since then, she's been working mostly on her own at the kibbutz and then now at the community that they live. And now in Chicago, she's speaking every month at all of the nursing homes in the Chicago area, a number of them, and at many of the synagogues, giving talks on Shabbos afternoon, things like that, and selling Israeli art and jewelry to promote people's interest in Israel. That sort of thing.
She have any children?
Yes, they have three children, the oldest of which at age 22 was just married this past October. And we had a double simcha because my son's second child, we came to bar mitzvah at the beginning of November, and we had planned that for 13 years. So when she got engaged at Pesach time, when her boyfriend from Israel came to visit her here, when they were here visiting for Pesach, and then after Pesach in Chicago, she decided if she wanted to make sure that the whole family was going to be there, she better plan the wedding to be close to the time. So she had it 10 days before, and we all went over, including all the grandchildren. All 10 grandchildren were there, plus the four children, myself. They have an next child who is now at a Hesder Yeshiva, which is the combining the learning program in a 5-year period in which the 3-year mandated army service is enclosed. So the whole group at the yeshiva goes into the army for training at various times during that period as a whole group. He's in the city of Yerucham, which there was an article about in the January 8th issue of the Chronicle, and I read it very eagerly because they were saying how it's one of the development towns that had brought themselves up by their bootstraps and is doing very well compared to many of the others. And when I came to the end and they hadn't mentioned the yeshiva, which has just started there a few years ago purposely to help build up the community as well. So last week's Chronicle, if you might have seen it, had a letter to the editor that I wrote telling what I just told you and saying what programs they did have specifically. And each of the kids at the yeshiva has to tutor one of the kids in the school who needs help in his work, plus they had them there for dancing and so forth. And I noticed even in this week's Chronicle that Carl Alpert has an article on the same thing. He obviously went with the same media crowd that was taken to development towns and interviewed in Europe. Their youngest is still here. She's in the 11th grade of high school, so she's still with them.
Her name?
Her name is Odea. I don't think I gave you the names of the other children. Maya was the oldest one, who's married now to Avi Duglin. And Yaron is in the army setup. And Odea is the one that's really most special in a way because she was born 13 weeks premature in Hadassah Hospital. And but thank goodness everything is fine. Actually, of my own children, even my son, I had lost first child, that's why I said I have four living one, who only lived for 13 days because she was 12 weeks premature back in those days. That was my first one that lived. And then later, the second child, Dove, was also premature, but he was only 10 weeks early, so he's okay. And then my daughter's daughter was 13 weeks early, but with the modern technology, thank goodness, he's okay. Son Dove has three children also, an oldest daughter who's graduating high school this year, trying to decide what she will do about her army service or national service, which she's going to do. And his son that I mentioned just had his bar mitzvah.
What does Dove do?
Oh, Dove went to Yeshiva University and majored in biology, undergraduate, and then he stayed on and got a master's in Semitics, which is Arabic, Aramaic, and Hebrew. And then when they made Aliyah, he used a little bit of each of those there because they all spoke Hebrew, and he was teaching Mishnah classes in Aramaic. And the closest community to their community on the top of Mount Gilboa, where Saul and Jonathan died in biblical days, are two Arab villages that were originally on the other side of the border, but now now they'll be probably given back eventually, too, given up. But so he speaks Arabic a little bit on occasion to the Arabs in the neighborhood too.
He must work.
But he on a kibbutz you do whatever has to be done or whatever you're capable of doing, and people rotate around. So he's done many things over the years, and he used to work out in the fields, but in charge of the when they put in that drip irrigation, the special thing where they had plastic underground and just little nodules that's all handled by computer, and they put in the fertilizer and everything else right with it. So we were down there in those days with him on that, watching that. And but then he and his wife were on the first civilian bus in the Intifada in October 31st, 1988. And they were firebombed. Two guys from Jericho wanted to moonlight and earn a little extra money when Arafat put out a flyer saying, you know, if you kill an Israeli, we'll give you so much money, and if you injure an Israeli, we'll give you so much money.
Bounty hunting.
So three of them stood under a banana field right alongside the road. They let an army jeep go by because they weren't interested in that. They had been up to that time, that was about a year already into the Intifada, they had been only handling hurting soldiers, but they decided they'd have more effect as they went on to do real havoc with. So the three of them threw five Molotov cocktails into this bus, and a mother with three children, whose husband was sitting up near the front, but she was sitting in the back on the bench so the kids could sleep. The mother and the three children died because the baby had rolled off. They couldn't find it on the ground, and the soldier in the back, who later died, also awaiting a lung transplant. After all, the plastic is what gets burned and up in the air, and actually the fiery plastic goes into the lungs when you breathe. And he stayed in as long as he could, trying to help her or trying to talk her to let the kids, you know, get out, until he finally broke the window with his gun and got out himself. But in the end, it didn't help him. But they were the only two that were injured seriously. Otherwise, everyone else got out in the front of the bus. But they had been sitting beside each other, sound asleep, on their way to Jerusalem, and a Molotov cocktail landed right in between them. So he was burned on that side of his body, and she on the other side of his body. She still has a large scar on her face, but it gets less and less noticeable as years go on. He had to have his whole outer ear reconstructed, but you can't tell that because you never see each ear separately. Yeah, you only see them from the front, and they look the same. And they had a lot of skin grafting, so he couldn't work outside in the fields anymore, so he had to start to do stuff inside. And she also.
You must constantly be in fear.
No, never in fear. I hear more when I turn on the news in the morning as to murders and hijacks and everything else, and none of them had anything. Actually, that night he was on national television from Hadassah Hospital, and of course they're 7 hours ahead, and my daughter, who was living in Israel at the time too, she heard it, and she made her way to the hospital and saw them there. But the reporter, knowing that he was an English-speaking, an American reporter, taped him and talked to him about it. And of course, it came over BLUM on the television screen as identifying him, but the daughter had called my other daughter here and told her to come over and tell my husband and myself about it and watch the evening news, the 11 o'clock news. So I have some of the footage that I got from the station and that. But thank goodness they're all right, and they just went on with their lives as much as they could. But he now has went back to school on his own a couple of days a week in Tel Aviv to learn about computers. He had taught himself. He had never learned in school, and he's 44 now. And he got a postgraduate degree in computers. He had been teaching first just in the high school, the local regional school of all the religious kibbutzim and moshavim. He had been teaching word processing just. That's the highest level of computers that they were learning when he first started teaching there. But now They go up to computer programming in the 12th grade. And he just sent us an article from a computer Hebrew teaching magazine that he had submitted and that they published, and was the first one that he knew of that they had ever published that combined the Bible and Jewish aspects of things within the exercises that they gave to the kids. So he was combining both the religious aspects as well as the computer, and he actually is teaching all the teachers of computers in the northern third of the country at Technion, where has a family connection to us too, because my mother's first cousin and his wife was a professor at Technion, and I've been active in the Technion group here. So he teaches every Monday night the new exercises and new programming that they're putting. Israel is so far ahead of America on the computer. There are so many more, and everything.
Certainly a wonderful young man. Now the last child?
No, the third child is Dr. Ilana Bloom, who went to Pitt here and then transferred after 2 years for her third and final year, because Pitt has the trimester, so you're able to get a lot more, and went to medical school at NYU. Actually, she transferred to Queens in her senior year. So at Queens College for her senior year, where she was then got admittance to medical schools, she met in the classes, the science classes, her future husband, Dr. Jeffrey Garrett. And actually he influenced her to go to NYU. She was originally going to go to Einstein, where she was also accepted. They were both accepted to 8 medical schools. She had already sent in her application even, and he called us up because he wanted her to go where he was going to go, and talked us into it would be better for her in all ways. And she remembered that the catalog from the medical school said you could get your $100 registration fee back if they filled your place. Now, do you know of any other medical school that doesn't fill its classes? So she wrote, and she got her money back, and she changed and took the NYU. So they went there, and then they stayed for their residency also. She majored in internal medicine, both of them. And then they went on internal medicine. And then they went out to California for fellowships together. And he in cardiology, and she in oncology and hematology. And then they stayed out there an extra year, so he went on to do a specialty in cardiology someplace else out there on angioplasty. And she then he came to Pittsburgh and got a job here in Pittsburgh, and she got a job at the university doing hematology and oncology and bone marrow transplant, which is her major thing that she's doing now. She has a lot of leukemia cases and so forth. And she's had 4 children all the time
ages.
That she's working for. The oldest one will become a bar mitzvah this summer.
Name?
Ruvain. And the next one was just 11, Benjamin. Actually, there's an interesting story about that. I showed you already the picture of the bris of the first one, where the education minister of Israel was actually happened to be there. But at the bris of the second one, which they had here in Pittsburgh, because my husband had his stroke, that he was in a wheelchair till he died 3.5 years later, at that time. So they brought the baby here. Even though some airlines don't accept young babies on an airplane, but he was a big husky guy, so they didn't ask how old he was, so they got here. And the father, whose name is Jacob, said about the first son's name was Ruvain, just as Jacob in the Bibles was, and his next son was Benjamin, just as the youngest son of Jacob was. But then he went on to say, but I did it with only one wife, whereas Jacob had to go from Reuven to Benjamin with four wives. Anyway, that's just one of the family stories that we tell all the time. And then after my husband died, they had a little girl who is now 7, and her middle name in Hebrew is named after my husband, Chesed, which is loving kindness. His name was Avraham, and loving kindness is Avraham's main trait, so she knew it. But my daughter's husband, both parents were dead, and he had named the one son after that and the other son after a grandfather, and he wanted to name the girl child after his mother. But her name was also Evelyn, like my name. So since we don't name after when there's a living person in the family, so she is named Chaviva, which sounds a lot like Chava, but it's spelled differently. It has a bet instead of a vet for the B sound. So she's Chaviva. And therefore then he had his mother's middle name. His mother's name is her middle name, Chaviva Eve in English, and Chaviva Chesed in Hebrew. Actually, all the children have all their names in English and Hebrew are exactly the same on all 10 of the grandchildren. Since then, she's had a boy 2.5 years ago whose name was Aharon, and he's the baby of the batch.
She has quite a job.
Yeah.
Four children?
Yeah. She has and very good help with them.
What area of the city do they
live in? Squirrel Hill, also on Beechwood Boulevard, but about 15 blocks around the curvy here. And the youngest son is Michael J. And my youngest son is Michael, who was born 9 pounds 5 ounces as compared to the first son, who was only 3 pounds 7 ounces as premature. And he's also redhead. Oh, they're all redheads except Ilana. She's the dark hair one in the family. And all four of the children went to Hillel Academy all the way through to high school, graduated. And he also then went to Yeshiva University, like his brother did.
He's not married?
No, he's not married. I forget exactly what his major was, but then he went on to law school in Boston, and at the same time did a joint program from Boston University with Harvard Kennedy School of Government, and got a master's in planning from them at the same time he got his law degree. So he did it all in 4 years instead of separately. Right. It would have been 5 years. And he worked for the City of New York General Services and then Correction Department. And then he worked for the Treasury Department in Washington.
That has a lot of branches.
Yeah.
Treasury.
Well, he was in the main building right opposite the White House.
No, I meant in the different departments.
Yeah. Well, he was the director of the Office of Planning and Management Analysis in the Treasury, the main Treasury building. And that's it.
All
we're
right.
Still hoping. We haven't given up hope. He's 39 already, but we haven't given up hope.
No.
He's still looking for the perfect one. He found her, but it was a wife of one of our friends who he said would make the perfect. I'm looking for a girl just like her, but
he hasn't
found her yet.
Well, the children were going to school in Pittsburgh, not at yeshiva colleges and so forth. Did they ever complain of any anti-Semitism, anything that you could think of?
Only one time. When we went swimming down here at the city pool off of Beechwood Boulevard, did some kids make fun of them in the dressing room with their kippot and with their teletot, tzitzit on inside when they were getting undressed. But it didn't bother them, and they just ignored them, but they commented. That's actually the only time I ever remember anyone having any contact with that sort of thing. Most of their friends were from Hillel, and they were Jewish and Orthodox, and they didn't have that much contact. But the whole family had very close contact with my husband and my teacher from Schenley High School, who was a Catholic, whose brother was a priest, and who she ended up as a dean after she retired at Duquesne University, and she got him his scholarship for Duquesne University before he went on to get his master's at Columbia in journalism before he went overseas to China and India during World War II. And she became